слухаєте Вільне Радіо. Вільне Радіо.
Ви слухаєте актуальне інтерв'ю на хвилі Вільного Радіо. Сьогодні ми будемо спілкуватися з американським істориком на пенсії, мандрівником і поетом, вірші якого присвячені Україні та українцям Білом Артрелом. Hi, Bill.
Hello. Добрий день.
You failed to come to us on your first try. Why did it happen?
Well, I actually get confused a lot here, and the signs are in Cyrillic and not the Latin alphabet. So I actually had trouble finding the train, and then I had trouble reading the ticket, and it was for the wrong day, my ticket. So they said I couldn't get on the train, and I had to do it again this time.
When did you see Ukraine for the first time?
In 2007, I was on a larger trip to Russia, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and then Ukraine.
Why did you decide to come to Ukraine when the events of the Revolution of Dignity flared up there?
Okay, well, I was on another trip in 2013 to Turkey, Bulgaria, Romania, Moldova, and then Ukraine. And I just had one day in Kyiv, and I was staying at a suburban hotel, and I said, well, if I have one day, what should I see? And they said, you have to see the Maidan. And so I took the metro and arose, and what I saw was the most beautiful square in the world that I've ever seen. And I've been to 67 countries and, you know, seen Paris and Bangkok and Rio de Janeiro and London. And there's nothing like the Maidan. It's a really magical place. On that same day, there was a demonstration. It was the middle of October 2013, and it was against Viktor Yanukovych. Now, I knew, and I think most Americans knew about the Orange Revolution a little bit. And I knew, since I'm a history teacher, I probably knew more. And I knew he was a really bad guy, and he was working for Putin. Of course, he was taking direct orders from Vladimir Putin to run Ukraine always in favor of Russia. Yeah, I mean, this is horrible. So I joined it, and afterwards I met three of the protesters, and I said, explain everything to me. And they said how much money had been stolen by Yanukovych, billions of dollars. Well, so that was my last day on this trip to Eastern Europe. And I went back to America then in late October 2013, and I was watching the news, and this little, you know, the protest I went to was about 2,000 people in front of St. Michael's, and it was getting bigger and bigger, and they called themselves Euromaidan, and it was very, really just exciting for me and for other people around the world who believe in democracy to see people taking democracy into their own hands. You know, protest is part of democracy, and protest has to be protected by the government, not attacked by the government. You know, nobody likes to be criticized. Well, Yanukovych wouldn't tolerate it, of course, and he began beating the protesters. And I'm watching all this on TV. And then in February 2014, on February 18th, 19th, and 20th, were three of the worst days of my life. I saw on live television protesters being murdered in the streets of Kyiv, Ukraine. It was the most horrifying sight I've ever seen. And I was just there. I recognized that monument there and that little restaurant there. And, you know, only a few months ago. So I didn't come during the revolution, but after the massacres, I came as soon as possible. I got my passport out. I bought a plane ticket. And I was scared to death. Russia had invaded. Russia had conquered Crimea already, and so I came as an international election observer for your first election in May of 2014, in which Poroshenko was elected. Just observing that, I want to say, it's the most honest election I've ever seen. They counted the ballots by hand, and they did it over and over again, and it was very, very meticulous and honorable. You know, in America, we're having trouble with Russia, too. Russia got our Viktor Yanukovych in the White House. His name is Donald Trump. And he is the most corrupt politician. He's a pathological personality. He lies three times in one sentence, and he can't even keep track of his lies. I just want to say that we are comrades. Our president is supporting our enemy. We are brothers and sisters in this fight against Russia.
Let's go back to the events of the Revolution of Dignity.
Okay.
What impressed you most during the Maidan events?
Well, I think the courage of people was unbelievable. It was so frightening. I think I'm a pretty brave guy. I don't know if I would have had the nerve to go out there in that square and knowing that the police are bloodthirsty. I thought people at first were only killed on February 18, 19, and 20th, but many people were killed before that. There's a park. In that park, the police wounded protesters, and then I think they're called Tushuskis, and they were paid just 200 hryvnia, and they killed the wounded with clubs. And nobody in the world knows these things happened. February 18th, they killed 25. The next day, they came back, right? And the next day, they killed 60. And the next day, they came back, and they killed 25 more. And it would horrify people in the West.
When did you first visit Donbass?
Okay, I've been to Ukraine 9 times altogether. I've spent 14 months of my life here. And when you're a tourist, 1 week is like 1 month. And 1 month is like a whole year in terms of your experience, because everything is new to you, so you're open to everything. Since I'm a poet, I am really, really sensitive, and I notice everything around me. So it was in, December of 2014. I went there the first time, and I had a guide. I wanted to go to a refugee camp, and I volunteered there near Slovyansk. And I bought Christmas presents for everyone in the camp. In one of my poems, I said they called me their hero. No, they're the heroes, not me. I get to go back to Kyiv, and I get to go back to the United States. You know, and these people, I mean, just imagine if you lost your home and all you had was what you could carry on your back and your suitcases. Just put yourself in their place. And the Russians have done this to 2 million people. But the people didn't complain, and they were very cheerful, and they even put on a performance for me in the refugee camp. Okay, second time I went by myself. I really love adventure, and I like danger. I don't know why, but I interviewed people in Luhansk in stores, and 100% of them said, "We want to be part of Ukraine." The word is repatriated to Ukraine, and we hate Russia. We want no part of them. Please take us back.
So you're telling that you have been to Donbass 2 times, and this is your third visit to Donbass.
Yeah, third visit.
Why do you visit Donbass?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. One is, you've heard of Ernest Hemingway, right? You know, he's one of the greatest American writers, and he was in World War I. He was an ambulance driver. He was in the Spanish Civil War. He was a reporter, but he saw the fighting, and he became a great writer. And I think writers think they have to experience everything, you know, to really feel for other people. And I'd, of course, never seen a war. You know, United States is really, really lucky. We have two oceans protecting us and the Gulf of Mexico. And we only have 2 neighbors, and we're very friendly, Canada and Mexico. We're safe. I mean, the worst thing that happened was 9/11, but that was one day, right? And then Pearl Harbor before that, but that was way in Hawaii. And Hawaii is 5,000 kilometers west of Los Angeles. But you're very, very vulnerable because you have, 9 countries on your border? And you are like the epicenter of the world. Is the Mongol horde came through in the 13th century, and then the Ottoman Turks, and then the Polish, and then the Nazis killed 9 million, and then the Russians over and over again. Putin even said, Ukraine's not even a real country, and that's how arrogant he is. I mean, that'd be like, even Trump wouldn't say, Mexico isn't a real country. He doesn't like Mexicans, but he wouldn't say that. That is a reason, and also just because of compassion. I really love your country. Every foreigner that comes here falls in love with this country. I want you to know that. You're so impressive. You're such strong people. You're very deep, very spiritual. You don't complain. You're hardworking and very intelligent and well-educated people. And I always say Ukraine's the most underrated country in the world. You know, someday it'll take a while, but I think you will arise.
How did your Ukrainian experience affect your work? I mean, your poetry.
It really, really inspired me every time I come here. And I've in my life, I think I've written about 1,200 or 1,300 poems, which is quite a lot. But in the 14 months I've been here, I've probably written 250 of them. I mean, that's almost 25%, right?
When did you write your book about Ukraine?
Well, I started in 2007 on my first trip, and it was I was in Odessa and southern Ukraine. I went to Crimea and Yalta. I just found this nation was so unusual, very distinctive, and it actually reminded me so much of my own childhood. The pictures I remember from my childhood look just like Ukraine. My family was working class. We didn't have a lot of money. And in Ukraine, there's a lot of poverty. And I grew up in an industrial area in Cleveland. And that part of Ohio's the state. There's many industrial cities, not just Cleveland. So the people that came to work in the factories were European immigrants, right, when the Industrial Revolution began in the United States. And a lot of Ukrainians came to Northeast Ohio. As a little kid, I remember seeing these onion top churches. That's what we called them, the cupola. Right? We call them onion top churches. And it would say Ukrainian Orthodox Church. I wonder what that means. I always, you know, sort of had this connection subconsciously. And then when I came here and got off the airplane in Odessa, it's like I'm home. This is exactly the way it felt to be a little boy in Ohio.
What inspired you to write your book?
I think, you know, what I just said about the connection to my childhood and my own family being, you know, kind of very similar to Ukrainians. So identification with Ukraine. I'm very sensitive about people suffering. I can't stand to see people suffer. And like in the metro in Kyiv, I've broken up fights there. I've got between two guys and they're hitting me too. And I say, stop, stop, stop. There are bloody fights and somebody might die, right? That's how much I really, really care about people. It's that compassion for a nation that suffered.
What and who is your book about?
The book I was just published last May is Ukrainian Heart. And my book here is divided into two parts. The first part is called A Nation of Poets. And it's 16 poems just about my personal experiences and observations of Ukraine. The second part of the book is A Nation of Survivors, and that is for the last 800 years, you have survived. You haven't been destroyed, even though many countries have tried. So in some ways, you are victorious. And these are poems then about Maidan, the war with Russia, even Chernobyl, Baba Yar, the Holodomor, etc.
I see one of the poems is called My Testament.
Yeah.
You know that Taras Shevchenko has written the poem with the same title.
Yes, I do know that. I did it on purpose. So it's dedicated to him. And what a person he was. To have a poet and artist is your national hero is so cool.
How quickly did you write your book?
It took me from 2007, when I first arrived, through about 8 years. And after Maidan, I was still in America, and I was trying to get the right poem about Maidan. And I wrote 4 or 5 or 6 poems about it. And finally, bam, I got it right in one poem. When I've read the poem, people are really moved by it. And what's unique about my book is that the story of Ukraine, first told as poetry, and secondly, told by an outsider, you know, an American. And the book can be purchased on Amazon. It can be purchased on Facebook directly to me. My name's Bill Arthrell, ARTHRELL. And you can make friends with me, send me a message, And if you live in Kyiv, I'll bring you the book in person and sign it. You can look it up online. It's called Ukrainian Heart.
In which Ukrainian cities have you already presented your book, Ukrainian Heart?
Not a lot, but Cherkasy. I was just in Cherkasy. Kharkiv last spring. That's a fabulous city. I was very impressed. Lviv just this fall. And, of course, Lviv is out of this world. It's what Paris used to be. It's very similar looking to Paris, but more attractive. And Kyiv, those four cities.
Where will the next presentations be held in the near future?
Now, I am going to Chernivtsi October 30th at 7 p.m. You can go there. You can look it up online. Again, the quickest way to connect is make friends with me on Facebook, and that will supply you with all the information.
What response do you get from Ukrainian readers?
Very, very positive. It is, first of all, in the imagination of the American mind, we think of Slavic people as great poets. Ukraine is the land of poetry. And it is, of course. You've had Taras Shevchenko and Ivano Franko and many others. And a man from Cleveland is the first person to translate all of Taras Shevchenko from Ukrainian to English. And he lives right in my city. Peter Fedinsky is his name.
Now let's talk, how do Americans feel about your work?
These poems, I haven't had a presentation in America yet. I did have one, and I read the poem. It's called Olga Pavlenko. It's about the Maidan Revolution. It's dedicated to the Heavenly Hundred. People were stunned at how good it was. It moved people to care about Ukraine, and it made it personal. And my poetry is very personal. I use first person a lot. I don't talk about something outside myself. I talk about what's going on the inside. And as it relates to, you know, the Maidan or Donbass or Crimea.
How different are Ukrainians and Americans?
I mentioned I've been to 67 countries. Another time I went around the world for 2 years alone, living out of a backpack. That's all I had. It was very, very difficult to do, but also totally inspiring and extraordinary. But I will say that Ukraine is different and exotic as any country I've ever been in. And you know, I've been to Brazil and China and Vietnam and Egypt and, you know, many exotic different places. And there's no place more different than the United States and Ukraine.
Why is it so?
First of all, your personalities are completely different. Americans are very, very verbal. We talk a lot. And Ukrainians are more quiet and reserved. Americans are very open and public about who they are. Also, Americans are more superficial. You're less materialistic, you're more spiritual, you're more homogenous. There's millions of everybody in America. You know, Puerto Ricans, Palestinians, Jews, blacks, Native Americans, English, Mexicans. There isn't a single culture there. There's many subcultures. And so that's exciting, but it's also confusing too. And so you have a much stronger culture than we do. What's our culture? McDonald's? Coca-Cola? I don't know. We don't really have much of a culture, and you have such a deep, and it's really fulfilling to an American to be in a country that goes back 1,500 years of being Ukrainian.
And what do these two nations, I mean Ukrainians and Americans, have in common?
Okay, well, I think we both love freedom. That's the first thing. Americans love to protest, too. We have protests every day in the USA against Trump. His first full day in office, there was 800,000 people in Washington, D.C. protesting him. Now, you had 1 million people at the Maidan during Euromaidan, and you have a much smaller population. Americans are more religious than Western Europeans, and Ukrainians are more religious. So we have that in common.
Are there any places in America that remind you of Ukraine?
Yeah, I guess I already said that, where I grew up. It's so much like Ukraine. This is deja vu. This is my childhood all over again. Ohio looks a lot like Ukraine. It's very green. It's very pretty. It's not as beautiful as Ukraine, actually, but the fact that we have quite a few Ukrainians and lots of Slavic people in my part of the country.
How do you cooperate with the Ukrainian diaspora in America?
Well, after the Maidan massacre, and I was so upset and depressed and anxious, I got in my car. We have a section of Cleveland called Ukrainian Village, and I went there, and I knocked on doors, and I said, "Excuse me, but are you Ukrainian?" And they said, "No, we're Polish." "Are you Ukrainian?" "No, we're Slovenian." "Are you Ukrainian?" Talk, we're Ukrainian. I introduced myself. I'm a high school teacher, a history teacher, and I really want to help your country. They said, go to an Orthodox Ukrainian church. And we have about 15 Ukrainian churches in Cleveland. I mean, a lot. And 50,000 people. And so I asked a priest there, and he said, join the Cleveland Maidan Association. So I went there. And that's the diaspora in Cleveland. They have their own section of Cleveland, and even tourists go there to have borscht and so on.
Do you like borscht?
Oh, I love it. It's my favorite food in the whole world. And Ukrainians have the best. That's where I was invited to be an international election observer. But these Ukrainians in Cleveland are so hardworking. They are such good citizens in America, and this Maidan Committee of Cleveland raised enough money to buy 3 ambulances and send them to Donbass.
How much are Americans aware of the current events in Ukraine?
Well, let's see, in 2014, you were the number one story in the world, and everybody was talking about Ukraine, during Maidan and then Crimea, and let's not forget Crimea, and Putin denied that little green men had gone there. Later, a few months later, he's putting medals on the same men that he said didn't exist, right? So what a liar Putin is. Now, it's the number one issue again in America because of one phone call. And that was Donald Trump calling up President Zelensky. Donald Trump has done something every day of his presidency that he could be impeached for. Almost literally every day. But it will be Ukraine that brings him down. And you will do the greatest favor in American history if you help us bring Donald Trump down. Because Donald Trump is a stooge for Russia.
You have already told us that you are a former teacher of history.
Yes.
Now you are retired, as far as I remember.
That's right.
Are there, in your opinion, any similar moments in the history of Ukraine and the United States?
Oh, yes. We initially had the same problem with Great Britain. You know, we were a colony, or actually 13 colonies, of Britain when the Europeans began to explore and conquer the world. And then the British started to tax us, the American colonists, heavily. But we weren't allowed to have any representatives in the Parliament of England. We said no taxation without representation. And that led to protests and then rebellions. And then there were 2 battles broke out. And that started the American Revolution. Okay, so we had a dominant country, and Britain was the most powerful country in the world at that time, and we were nothing. We were a backwater colony. And then in 1812, the British came back, and they tried to reconquer us again. The same as you had your independence from Russia in 1991, and now Russia's coming back and trying to reconquer. And we won that war as well. Also, the other similarity was the American Civil War, which is the biggest war in our history. And it's kind of like Donbass. Is part of America wanted to secede and form their own country, the southern states, right? And they called them, and they did. They set up their own country, their own capital, They were called the Confederate States of America, and the reason they seceded is because they wanted slaves, and the people in the North were against slavery. Did we accept that? No, just like Ukrainians don't say, oh, goodbye, Crimea, goodbye, Donbass. No, you can't leave. We went through that as well.
I know that one of your hobbies is traveling. How did these travels affect your work and your outlook?
I've spent almost 6 years of my life backpacking. Plus, I've traveled around the United States. Well, first of all, it made me a much better history teacher and social studies teacher. One of my students gave me a very nice compliment on Facebook and said, Mr. Arthrell, you were way, way overqualified to be a history teacher. It helped me with my job as a teacher. It's what got me started writing. How do you discover what you're supposed to do in life? I guess you have to try different things. Most of my writing is about traveling, is about the places where I am.
What experience of other countries could Ukraine adopt?
What could you learn? Well, okay, don't be offended, but things aren't very efficient in this country. America is so efficient, and in America, they just know how to get things done. It's amazing how fast things change there. And so efficiency is lacking here.
Finally, read us one of the poems from your collection, please.
Okay, this one is called Human Being. This is one of the poems I wrote about Maidan. Human Being, I come to you from heaven. I come to you from hell. I come to you from this world. I come to you from all others. I come to you from history. I come to you from the future. I am the fiery snows of death and the garlands of life. I come to you from Lexington and Concord, from Normandy beaches in France, from My Lai in Vietnam and Kent State in Ohio. I have come to you from the Holodomor, from Gandhi's march to the sea and King's march on Washington, from the rainforests of Brazil, from the ovens of Treblinka, from that concrete wall in Berlin, ready to burst, to break, an eruption, volcanic freedom. I have come to a square in Eastern Europe, a square one night in November, such a chill from truncheons, the police struck. I have come from everywhere on this planet, from all time, to this square. It is called the Maidan. It is the apex of the past. All future begins here. It is the definition of this era, and it is the inevitability of who I am. I come with one paving stone, one cop, one bullet, 100 dead. Yanukovych and Putin have had their massacre. But I came because I could see the burning tires of freedom. I could hear the courage of Kiev. I have come because I am a human being, and I am not leaving until you join me.
Thank you very much for the wonderful conclusion of the interview and just for the interesting conversation.
Yes, and thank you. And it was very fascinating, and I appreciate the opportunity to get to share. And as an outsider and a foreigner, I encourage all your listeners to be really, really proud of being Ukrainian. And you don't know how much Americans admire you and support you.
Нагадаю, сьогодні ми спілкувалися з автором збірки віршів «Українське серце», активістом з американського міста Клівленд Білом Артрелом. З вами була я, Маргарита Дніпровська. Почуємось.
Ви слухаєте Вільне радіо. Вільне радіо.